on. And let's begin with the word of prayer and move into our study. We've got a lot to cover this morning. So let's talk to God and spend some time together in the word of God and in fellowship together in Christ. Let us pray. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity that we have in our life to meet with other believers, to study your word, to glorify your Son, to, Heavenly Father, encourage one another. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Christ, glorifying to you. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing, and first we were going to sing one that just probably decided enough people aren't going to hear it or know it, so it's we want everybody together. So let's turn to page 442, Since I Have Been Redeemed. So let's stand and sing together. Since I have been redeemed.
I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. Of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a price to satisfy, since I have been redeemed. To do his will, my highest price, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a witness bright and clear, since I have been redeemed, dispelling every doubt and fear, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a home prepared for me, since I have been redeemed, where I shall dwell eternally, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name.
There we go. All right. I love hymns like that. Get a lot of going on in it. In the seminary, it's always it's just exciting at prayer time or the fellowship. No, the when we would gather every day, we would all get together and somebody would speak and all that. But what I didn't care about some of those sometime, but the singing was beautiful. And you had about 50, oh, let's see, 100, probably 150 young male young men singing. It was really powerful. So, okay, let's talk about getting ready for our worship in the Word, and let's talk about each other. First of all, that doesn't come out too good. We're going to talk about each other. Well, Tish would say it's gospel hour. All right, so first of all, how's Brian?
He looked good to me. I saw him Friday. He was doing his thing. Looks good.
Okay. Is he still 4 hours a day or more?
More, I'm sure.
Oh, more. Good.
I saw him yesterday, and he's definitely more than 4 hours a day.
Very good. All right. So we can just continue to pray for his advancement. And I talked to Tish, and she's doing fine. Got a couple of things to be in prayer. Be in prayer for iron. She needs to go to the doctor tomorrow, take some iron medicine, and just get more iron. And she's not able to start the procedure yet because they don't have enough nurses in the hospital to teach them how to do her procedure. And so she and,
It's an infusion.
Yeah. And Leslie's going to be with her, but neither one of them can really be there because they're not able to learn how to do it all. So let's continue to be in prayer in that respect. And any other prayer requests for anyone? Yes.
Tomorrow, around noon, I believe, Kathy Martin, Tyson has his mother-in-law, and Heather's mother, is going to have a cataract surgery. And her eye has been, I don't remember the word, fused or something, having that problem. So if the doctor at Parkland cannot do the correction correctly, they will have to go back and get a cornea transplant. So it's very
difficult. Ooh. Wow, we'll be in prayer then. Thank you. All right, any other prayer? Yes.
Can I make an announcement?
Absolutely. Come on up. Come up. How they word that?
We'll make this real quick, but camp is coming up very quickly. We have 61 campers. It changes. I guess we're kind of finalized now. And we've got a bunch of staff, a bunch of the young people that are coming back. It's going to be a wonderful week. We're in prayer and preparation for that. This year, because of all that was going on with COVID, all the things that were happening, we are short on our fundraising. So if anybody, we're good, we're covered, but just from a financial standpoint. But if anybody would care to sponsor any of these young people for scholarships or anything like that, we would love to have the financial support there. The way it works, y'all, is that we charge $25 for the staff to come, and that pays for their T-shirt, and it helps offset a couple of the things. But we don't charge the staff to come, but we have to pay for them to be there. And so all of them are technically on scholarship, if you wanted to look at it that way. That's why we do so much fundraising, et cetera. But if anybody would be, we've had some wonderful donations for scholarships. If you're interested in sponsoring, any amount is great. We charge we charge the campers $250 to come to camp for a full week. That's generally speaking what the fully loaded cost is for us, for each person that's there, if you take all the staff and figure out how that's all covered in that cost as well. So anyway, be in prayer for the teaching, be in prayer for the preparation, be in prayer for all that are coming to be a part of camp, and also if you are interested in being a part of financially supporting that, we know you have in a tremendous amount, and we're very appreciative of that, but feel free to do that as well.
And how can people online be able to donate?
Yes, so if you go online to our website, the Spring Valley Bible Church org, texas.org, right?
No, SpringValleyBibleChurch.org, all one word.
SpringValleyBibleChurch.org. There's a donation for the church, and there's the donation for the youth ministries. You can do that on PayPal.
Right.
There. You can do it here, or you can go to LibertyYouthMinistries.com, and you can donate there as well. So lots of different ways. Also, Carrie and Fassel will be coming to join us for camp. We'll talk about that offline, but be in prayer for their ministry and all that's going on in Pakistan as well. If you would, please. Anything else? Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, it'll be $25 for the staff.
That's what we charge the staff.
Yeah. Now, I want y'all to know something. $250 is nothing compared any church that I know of that has a camp. It's at least $800 up. And I'm talking about some lot that I know. And we're just every year, Chris and I have talked. Let's see if we can keep it down. Keep it down. And that's our objective. Keep it down. And that's going to cost, but that's what we want to do. So please be in prayer in regard to the finance, be in prayer for the teaching, be in prayer for the time together at the camp. So anything else comes up, you let us know. All right. Any other prayer? Yes.
I'd like to add my best friend Lisa's daughter, Casey Carney Kemble. She just got married recently, and she's really battling with depression, and she's pregnant, and she's a newlywed. She's just got a lot of things going on, and so God knows what she needs.
Tell her that happens whenever you get married sometime. Okay.
She's really triggering things because she can't take medications.
Oh, wow.
Battling with some issues. But she knows that. She acknowledged it. She's seeked help. She's actually in a facility getting help at this moment. But it's still...
Okay. We need to be in prayer. Oh, good. Bless you. All right. Wow. Okay. Now, just so you know, I just got in trouble from my wife for saying that about... something humorous about it. So, yeah. So, okay. Any other thing? Okay. Well, before I do this, let's talk about offering, talking about it. And there's just so many things that we need to take care of, even in a small assembly. We've got the internet, we've got the camp, we've got here, we've got so many things we need to take care of. So please remember these things. And yes?
I do have a prayer for my younger daughter.
Okay.
It's
unspoken.
Melissa
Valoria. All right. Let's be in prayer. God knows what for, so we'll be in prayer. Very good. Okay. Let's prepare ourselves for the offering and... just think about responsibility, pleasure, to be a part of the plan of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we go through the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, the discussion about giving, it's always part of the plan. You give to us that opportunity to be a part of your plan. In just different ways, missionary work, young people work, church. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, to use our offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, in his plan. Let us pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have a copy of Mystery, If God Permits? Everybody have one? Okay. Now, to prepare for this and our prayer, if you'll open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, if you'll open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, just for three verses, once again, very important ones, Hebrews chapter 6, and let's just read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching, leaving that about the Christ, let's leave that. Let us press. Here's what we want to do now. Press on to maturity. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washing and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. These are all powerful things. They're basic. Let's set on beyond these now. Let's go beyond these things. And then in verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. If God permits, we will go on in these things. So let's prepare ourselves now for the study of the Word of God and move forward in our understanding of God's Word. Let us pray. Father, we do pray before you that we, Heavenly Father, can advance in our understanding of the Word of God. Not just be saying the same thing over in different ways, but advancing on maturity of your Word. We pray these things now in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, mystery, if God permits. Now, people, the mystery is just, most of us will just read this verse, this word. We're going to spend some time on it. It's a very important part of our whole life. I don't know, I know who it was. Somebody said something about what's going to happen first. Are getting through the Ephesians or the rapture? And I wonder sometimes the amount of time that I take. But what's my hurry? I mean, we've taken a slow time going through Ephesians 1, 1 through 8. But we've covered a tremendous number of doctrines, sound teachings, and moving on. And now we're going to continue. Here we come to mystery. This is very important to our study of Ephesians, or Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, about let's move on. Let's advance. And we're going to advance if we understand the mystery doctrines, understand what is going on in the mystery. So with that in mind, let us move into this. First of all, the doctrine of a mystery. And the first thing we're going to look at is etymology. Etymology. Definition. And that's what we're going to look at. So here's just beginning the point and understanding about etymology of the study of the doctrine of the mystery. One, the origin of this word refers to a person who was initiated into a Greek fraternity of the ancient world. Now, we're going to start with the Old Testament, the word mystery. But it's not about the Old Testament. The mystery is about the church, the New Testament, the church age. But where does that come from? That's what we're looking at too, here. So point two, it is also derived from a Greek verb meaning to initiate. That is to instruct in the secret teachings of a fraternity. So we've got some secrets. That's going to be the teaching of the church, starting in Acts and moving on. Now, point three, Paul transferred this noun away from its reference to the secrets of ancient mystery cults and uses it in a technical theological reference. So he's going to turn it into a use in theology, a theological understanding, indicated that the church age was totally unknown in the Old Testament, from Adam to Jesus Christ. So what we're looking at now starts in the end of the church, or the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, and then you go into the church age. And that is where we move into the mystery. Four, there's those involved in the fraternity were known only to the initiated into the fraternity. So certain few people got it. Now, I will tell you this. The mystery now is for everyone. You can open the Bible and study. But I want you to understand something. They don't all get it. They don't all get it. Very few really get it. And that's the whole problem. The reason I looked at Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. That you will learn it and be part of it in its understanding. Point six, and very important to your understanding of this Greek word, mysterion. The word mystery in the New Testament does not refer to teaching or doctrines that are to be withheld, kept a secret, but it refers to information. Previously revealed to man, but is now to be proclaimed to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. It's just amazing to me, in my years in seminary, there'd be men out of books, like over here, never grasped, all about the Bible. Never grasp the gospel. Never grasp the gospel. But boy, they could talk to you. Old Testament, New Testament, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin. Never got it. A lot of preachers don't get it. I want you and I to understand this mystery. And the Bible is clear on who is appointed by God to proclaim these mysteries. Every male with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man regard us in this manner. Let all believers regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards here refers to those appointed to administer or teach the mysteries of God, and that refers to pastor teachers. Now, seven. So, this New Testament word refers to revelation previously hidden. Revelation of the Bible, previously hidden, but one that is now proclaimed. It was in the Old Testament, it's now proclaimed. It also refers to a revelation that contains a supernatural revelation, ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, with that understanding, let's go to Roman numeral 2. The primary use of the Greek word in the New Testament epistles is referred to in the church age as church age doctrines. Now, I got it in here somewhere, but I want you to understand, we're not looking at the gospel. The gospel is not church age doctrine. The gospel is Old Testament, New Testament, all time. This is talking about church age. So, let's take a look. One, the mystery of the church as the body of Christ. The mystery of church as the body of Christ. That's not in the Old Testament. You have Christ in the body of Christ. Of course, since the church was a mystery hidden in all the Old Testament, it is not spoken of nor described, since Jesus Christ was not yet identified. Messiah was, but not Jesus. Of course, the body of Christ would be a mystery throughout all of the Old Testament. And therefore, the church as the body of Christ would have been a complete hidden truth. It is hidden, but always part of the plan of God. Doctrine of dispensation, Old Testament, New Testament. The body of Christ is made up of all believers in the church age, Gentile and Jews. Let's look at a couple of passages. Let's read through the Word of God. Start reading in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll get there one day if the rapture doesn't come. All right. Ephesians chapter 3, let's start in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you, Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of Christ's grace, which was given to me for you, that any revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before you briefly. But, referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This is advancing on now. This is where you start going to mature doctrine, becoming a mature believer. Verse 5, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, the Old Testament, but as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, to be specific, clear it up, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, what's so interesting here, he's got to make a big deal about Gentiles. But let's just look at church age history. Just recently, just because they were some Jews, got beat up in Dallas, just because they were Jews. Of course, you got the period of World War II. The Jews are not appreciated by most Gentiles throughout all of the church age. But he's talking here where it was really heavy and talking about Jews. And they were very set to, everything was about us. It's about us. And he is saying, no, it's not just about them. It is about you Gentiles too. Now that brings us to verse 7. Of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. It's the Holy Spirit. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given. Now remember, he's Jewish. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light What is the administration of the mystery? That's what we're going to be looking at. Which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. That's why I've been sent here, Paul's saying, to teach this. It's been hidden, but has now been made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Now, when we come to this, we've got to go to the angels. Angels are very important to the whole plan of God. Old Testament, New Testament, Revelation, all these part of angels. Now, verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I hope you understood that. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose. Old Testament, New Testament, before all of this started, eternal purpose, which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to tell you something that Kit was in Wednesday night, but it just deals with this very same statement. Eternal purpose, which He carried out in Christ Jesus. But there was always a lot stated in the Old Testament. But it was all to come to be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Now, let's go to verse 19. And pray on my behalf. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Pray on my behalf. And I ask you to be in my prayer. I ask you to be in Phil's prayer. I ask you to be in Kit's prayer. I ask you to be in Chris Dagg's prayer. Be in our prayer as we study and teach the Word of God. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening and the authorities in the heavenly places, the angels. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Got the Old Testament, but carried out in Christ. Now, 6:19. And pray before night. He's got another one. Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Believe it or not, I have to pray that a lot. You may think I talk a lot, but this is my main prayer, and that I would open my mouth, be to the glory of Christ, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Not just the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. Okay, the gospel is in the Old Testament. Mystery of the gospel, now. Church age. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Praying. People, I cannot overemphasize to you the importance of prayer in your own life. Prayer. Prayer. You study the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, when you talk with people about the Word of God, go into prayer. Be a prayer warrior. Be constant in prayer. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. So, where are we gone so far? We've taken a look at simply the mystery, understanding it. Secondly, the mystery of Christ. Three, the administration of the mystery. And four, the mystery of the gospel. Each of these are in reference to the church as the body, the wholeness of the church, the mystery of the church as the bride of Christ. Now, I'm going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 28. So, husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. What does that have to do with anything? Let's take a look. For no one else hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church. That goes beyond the Old Testament. Because we are members of his body. For this reason, not because of marriage, not because of things we learn about, but because of the body of the church. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. One flesh! That's going to be us in Christ. The mystery is great in knowing and understanding. But I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. That all is talking about marriage, but what I'm talking about is about Christ and the church. What I'm talking about is you and I and our relationship with Christ. A very important understanding is that a multitude of verses throughout the Old Testament are fulfilled in Christ in the mystery, the church age. This is seen in Ephesians 5:31 and is fulfilled in Genesis chapter 2. That's second book of the New Old Testament, Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It tells you that in the Old Testament. But it's going to be about Jesus Christ in the church. You and I in the church. The Old Testament has always been proclaiming truth of the Messiah. Do you understand that? Old Testament has always been proclaiming truth of the Messiah, which is fully revealed in the New Testament in Jesus Christ. Now, Wednesday, get Sheehan's study in Judges, whereas you should, as you study through Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Gideon, Kings, and the last one will be Jesus Christ. All are revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. This is also seen in the study of Revelation, in Revelation 17:7, the beast and the seven heads and the ten horns, and in the Old Testament, in the study of Daniel. All right, point two. The mystery of Christ in us. The mystery of Christ in us. The hope, assurance of glory. The hope of glory, the assurance of glory. Colossians 1:22, 1:26. The Word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, members of the body of Christ. Verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we want to understand. That's where we're going to become mature. That's where you're going to become mature in Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, you want to be mature. See, that's what we're dealing with here. Point three, the mystery of God, even Christ. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. I've got to read that again. It's so much to it, we can get lost in it. But I don't want you to get lost in our study. This is about the mystery growth in your maturity in life. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. That's what we want to understand in fullness. People, it's so important to tell others of Christ. I don't think we have to go too high on that. You understand the importance. But you are ready to move beyond that. You've got to go on that. You've got to go to Christ Himself, grasping, understanding that gospel. That's what maturity is about. Maturity is not about witnessing. That's important. But that's not about maturity, is what about. Maturity is about growing in the wisdom and understanding of the Word of God. Colossians 2:9, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Always been there. But it was hidden throughout all the Old Testament and is now revealed for you and I. This brings us down to point four. The mystery of how man is returned to godliness in Christ. We know how important it is, the godliness, but to return to godliness in Christ. 1 Timothy 3:9, 1 Timothy 3:16 declare more than just the gospel, but the godliness by faith in the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 3:8, deacons likewise must be men of dignity. Now, if you have to clear, just understand all of that, just go back and go over the notes from Phil last Sunday morning and this Sunday morning. I suppose we'll continue this part next Sunday morning on all of this. But the deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not insincere, not prone to drink much wine, but not needy of money, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Holding on to the mystery. What's a clear conscience mean to the God with the mystery? It's between you and God. You don't get to, this isn't talking about everybody together. This is you and God. It's a mystery between you and God. 1 Timothy 3:16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, was vindicated in the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now, let's go to Roman numeral 3. This is mystery. This mystery is now revealed. It's now revealed. We've dealt, it's been hidden from Adam all the way to Jesus Christ. Now it's been revealed. So let's take a look. The mystery is now revealed. Here is the full example of the use of the New Testament word mystery. Romans chapter 16, verses 28 and following. Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past dispensations. Now, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. Now, this is obedience of all the nations. What does that deal with? Last week, we spent some invaluable time taking a look at the history of studying the mystery. We saw how the ages, the first 100 years, some of the second 100, there was a lot of study, but not much after that. And then as you go through more and more to about 500 A.D. following, virtually nothing. There were a little, but not that much. And then about 1300, a few men became powerful again as far as the study of the Word of God, wanting you to know it, wanting the people to read it. Tyler, what he was doing was, he was writing English in the Bible. Why? He wanted people to read it. He wanted people to understand it. So that's what he had to do. And then Martin Luther did the same thing in German. Wanted the people to learn it, to understand it. And then it slowly started being known, started being studied, and the mystery started becoming. Colossians 1, 26 and 25 and 26, which we've read, declares that the mystery is seen in the total declaration of Jesus Christ himself. The mystery is in Christ, in him. It is not about Jews or Gentiles. It is about Jesus Christ. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, past dispensations, but has now been manifested to his saints. That's in the church age. The declaration of this mystery in Ephesians is the declaration of the evangelic plan of God's universe. Let's go through that again. God love. The declaration of the mystery in Ephesians is the declaration of the evangelic plan of God, God's universe, of the Jews and Gentiles in God's plan for glory in His Son. So therefore we come to the church age. It's not about the Jews. It's not about the Gentiles. It's about those, anyone, just believe in Jesus Christ. That's who it's about. Ephesians 1:9, that's what we're in the midst of studying. He, subject from verse 3, is God the Father, made known, made revealed to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention. Do you realize now, we can do the mystery, now I got to look at the kind intention. How long am I going to stay with that? Which He purposed in Him, that is, in Christ Jesus. And I'll just ask you, how much do you understand of His kind intention? His kind intention. The mystery doctrine. How much of it do you understand in His kind, kind investment? Ephesians 3:3, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, but by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations, dispensations, was not even made known to the sons of men. And it has now been revealed. What a wonderful blessing we live in the church age. We have now been revealed in His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body. Do you understand that? That the Gentiles, speaking to Jews, that the Gentiles are fellow, we're fellow heirs, and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Therefore, the primary function of the pastor-teacher is to teach all realms of this mystery doctrine. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. But we speak Christ's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the age in our glory. Now, what's the point of all this? First, there is no excuse. Got that? No excuse for the believer to be ignorant of the mystery doctrines. Now, it may come that. It may be that way. Not many years from now, my great-grandchildren be too small, fighting, living, deciding just to make it. But right now, in America, not even in all the parts of the world today, they really have to make it through in the darkness of where they are to study the Word of God. But today, it should be so easy. It should be the easy thing for everybody. No excuse of the believer to be ignorant of the mystery doctrines of the church. Ignorance and arrogance are the two most worst enemies of the believer, which will cause the believer to make wrong assessment of his or her life and not have the priorities in life that touch into eternity. In other words, things that we do now touch eternity. It is the pastor teacher's job to uphold by his teaching the mystery doctrines of the church. And there's no excuse today. There's just no expense for not even knowing the Word of God. I mean, for knowing Greek and Hebrew, Aramaic, all these things now, just go get turn on the internet, turn it down, and start studying it. Take the Word of God. There's no excuse for it. No excuse. 1 Timothy 3:9. But holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. This means the pastor teacher is to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ all the mystery doctrines of the church. Unfortunately, most pastors today like to teach something that is simple and that just scratches, itches their little ears of his assembly. Most prefer to preach on traditions and what the denominations believes rather than sound doctrine from his study of the Word of God. It's just a shame. It's a shame pastors will not study and teach the Word of God. I say it every now and then, and we'll say it again. I am amazed and overthinking to God. A small assembly of Spring Valley Bible Church. We have 4 sound teachers of the Word of God. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Now, Roman numeral 4. Mystery is used by Paul to refer to the revelation and teachings of the church, which were hidden away from, hidden against in the ages past, all periods before the church age, which began on the day of Pentecost. The gospel is not part of the mystery. Let me repeat that. The gospel is not part of this gospel. For the gospel has been proclaimed throughout all history in every dispensation. Some of these doctrines that were a mystery in the Old Testament include ones that were not there. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go through these because to me, this goes back to what we just read in Hebrews 6. Maturity. Get this understanding. Let's move on. Let's get the growth of these things. So, baptism of the Holy Spirit, which results in universal, permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, be a Jew or Gentile. They're in this point. Everyone that believes in Christ is in the Holy Spirit. 2, resulting in every believer being in an intensified stage of the angelic conflict. That's advanced doctrine. That's a whole 6-7 months to do with the angelic conflict, to grasp it. It is so important. And we haven't really gone through it for quite a while. I'm sorry we haven't. I'll never forget. I was 21, I guess. First time I went to Baraka Church. And I was just... And I grew up in a church. But I was overwhelmed just by, what is that? What is that? What is that? I'll never forget. I was sitting there hearing this about the angelic conflict. And I asked Don Becker, what was this. He spent time right there. Everybody else had gone. I was surprised they let us leave the light on. And he went for about an hour, went through this whole thing. I was just overwhelmed. I went home and just dove right into my Bible. I couldn't believe it, how important the angelic conflict is and what is going on in it. And then point three, in full-time Christian service. Now, what do you think about that? We spend time in Daniel. We spend time in Daniel about the Gentiles in that period. Heard the gospel, given the gospel, believed the gospel, and that's it. They believe and that's it. They're going to be in eternity. They're going to be there. You're going to see them. But that's it. Nothing more. Church age, you now are in full-time Christian service, ready to be used, learn, growth in the Word of God, and then used by God. Time in the study of the Word of God. Four, the universal priesthood. Not a specialized priesthood as in the age of Israel. Every one of us, every one of you are in full-time universal priesthood. Five, maturity by the study of God, of Word of God in the local church through the teaching by a pastor teacher. Every believer will be part of the body of Christ, becoming the bride of Christ. The wedding will not be here. The wedding will be in heaven after the judgment seat of Christ. The wedding and then the marriage supper of the Lamb will be on earth in Jerusalem, and right after the second advent and right after the battle of Armageddon. The baptism of fire after that of all the unbelieving Gentiles removed. Then the baptism of fire for all unbelieving Jews. Them putting Satan in bondage. And Jesus Christ establishing His millennial kingdom. All of this immediately happening. There is an intimacy with God the Father in prayer and a unique set of rewards for the believer using the glorified Son of God, Jesus Christ, during his or her life or on earth by living by faith in the Holy Spirit. It is just unbelievable. That what I'm talking about here, looking at the importance of your life, what your life is about. People don't get too lost, caught up in the world. And I'm talking about making money in the world, not making world money in the world, getting this, getting that, air, or watching movies, doing this, or studying the Word of God. Be in prayer. Spend that time in Him. Roman numeral 4:5, Paul gives a severe warning. Let's give this. A severe warning to those who do not know the mystery as it relates to dispensations. In other words, a warning is given to every believer for not growing in the knowledge, in the teaching of the doctrine of the Bible. And who does not grow in maturity of His Word. There's a warning for this. How do they not know the mystery? Because, as in Hebrews 6:1, they do not press on to maturity. And that describes a lot of believers. They do not press on to maturity. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, dealing with this warning, For I do not want you, brethren, believers in the church age, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has become. Do you understand all of that? What did you say? Let me go through it. One of the most important results of the dispensation is the distinction between Israel and the church, and that the church does not replace Israel. It's very important. Therefore, God has a marvelous plan for Israel. Always had it. Which was included in a several, which includes the 7 years of tribulation. Then his return as sitting on the throne of David in the millennial kingdom. Ignorance of dispensations is ignorance a part of the mystery doctrine, the mystery teaching. The partial eclipse of this, what is being talked about in this passage, the partial eclipse of Israel is seen in the mystery until the fulfillment of Gentiles is in the place of the church age, but not in the place of, instead of, but along with. In that place. There. Yes?
What's a dispensation?
Okay. The smart alecks know what I'm doing there.
I looked it up and it didn't seem to help me.
All right. Dispensations, just put it this way, time facts of God, time periods. Israel, or Gentiles, Israel, church, Israel, then you got the church, or the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So dispensation refers to periods of Christ in his, or of God plan in history.
Periods of time.
Periods of time.
Okay.
Gentiles, Jews, that would be the major thing. Some people break it up into seven, but we'll just quickly go through it that way. Does that help?
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Keep going over it and you'll get it.
Okay.
You'll get it.
Betsy will tell me later.
That's wonderful. Alright. We saw in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3, about moving on in the advanced doctrine and the problem of being ignorant of sound doctrine. There are several warnings to not knowing the important doctrines that we should be aware of. As in Romans chapter 2, 7, not knowing about the kindness of God. Not knowing about God's righteousness in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. And because of ignorance of knowing the Word of God reveals the failure to advance in the knowledge of the mystery. We should not be ignorant of the schemes of Satan. In Rome, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, and of course, not knowing and understanding the rapture of believers in 1 Corinthians 4:13. Those are just some of the things that you lose out on understanding and enjoying, be a part of in that respect. That brings us to Roman numeral 6. And we do have that time for Roman numeral 6. According, another warning, we just noted one warning, another warning to all believers is not to be ignorant or arrogant of your knowing of the mysteries. How does a believer head off ignorance or arrogance? by understanding spiritual love from the Holy Spirit gives knowledge of the mystery. 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have the gift of prophecy, that's a wonderful thing, and knowing all mysteries, and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I am an echoing sound. Spiritual love protects the believer from arrogance in life. You want to have the filling of the Holy Spirit, therefore you have spiritual love in you. We will resume at point 7 next Sunday and continue on, and then take up the next aspect in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Let's close in a word of prayer. The mystery. Heavenly Father, there is so much of the mystery we desire to understand and to grasp. There are so many things, Father, that we desire to know. And we're so thankful that we have freedom in this country, the freedom in this country to spend our time in mystery and learning the Word of God. Not in all activities going on in this world, but we have the freedom in America that a lot of people don't have in parts of this world, the time that we have to study the Word of God, to advance in maturity. So Father, I pray your Spirit takes the things that we've seen this morning, just takes this part, enriches us, gives us the desire to want to learn and understand more about the mystery, that we, Heavenly Father, might be mature before Christ. In whose precious name we pray. Amen.